Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
I feel like many people were asking that very same question that Aaron Rodgers posed. Though he was talking about a UFO, the rest of us were wondering, who was that streaking pink-thonged man? It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. I have to give a plug to our friend Doug. Oh, ha, I didn't mean for that to rhyme. Doug is the production director here at CBS Sports Radio Network, and he has been with the network since day number one. And normally we do a lot of our own production on the show, meaning audio and some of the opens, the montages, what we call rejoins when we come back from commercial breaks that blend music and actuality, sound bites, and sometimes snippets of things I've said on the show in the past. And because we're down a man, Doug has taken over a lot of our production, and he's been so great to tailor it to our needs, but also to what the host likes. There have been a couple of times where I've, you know, given him really implicit instructions, and he's been great about trying to work with us and helping us to spruce up some of our audio and some of our highlights and some of the ways that we package our product here. So lot of shop talk there, but I do really appreciate Doug, who is handling so much of that and taking on that load that we just don't have time for. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. We're live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. When you need certainty in the home buying process with a loan that fits your life, Rocket can. On Twitter, A-Law Radio. I appreciate that many of you are sharing your pet photos, your pet pics. You're also doing that on Facebook. So producer Dave helped me to put the photos up of Sugar and Petty. Why can't I do it myself? Well, this is crazy. But Facebook has locked me out of using my phone to access our show page, right? So I can access our show page, monitor our show page. I can post, I can edit, I can delete, yada, yada, yada. But I can only do it when I log in from a desktop or a laptop. I cannot do it anymore when I log in from my phone. Now, I have only sent Facebook 30 requests. I kid you not, at least 30 for the phone number. Well, they have my phone number for a validation code that they're supposed to send me so that I can then prove that I am who I say that I am. Do you think the code has ever come back? In 30 requests for a code, not one time have I gotten the text message to my phone. So as long as Facebook wants to play this game, producer Dave is going to be uploading photos. So these were photos that were on my cell phone, on my Galaxy. And so he posted them there, and you'll see Sugar and you'll see Penny. And many of you are responding with your own pet photos in honor of National Love Your Pet Day. For those of us who have fur babies, we obviously don't need a designated day. A little bit like Valentine's Day, right? Love your significant other more. Love your families more. Love your friends more on this day. So you can find us on Twitter, Facebook. We'll do our Man Crush Monday poll here coming up as we try to narrow it down. It's actually a lot harder than you would think when we're dealing with, say, I don't know, 6, 7, 8 different sports who had big-time performers, individual feats of strength over the weekend. So check that out. We're going to get back into the Man Crush Monday groove. Our phone number is 855-212-4227, 855-212-4CBS. Coming up in 15 minutes, it's a movie review that you did not know that you needed. I never, ever, ever claim to be cool. But for those of you who listen to the show on a semi-regular basis or you follow me on social media, you may know that there's one movie that I had been putting off seeing for the last couple of years, even though I told you I was going to watch it and then I flaked out. I became a snowflake and I decided I could not because it scared me. The whole premise of it scared the crap out of me. And so I finally watched it over the weekend. I'm really proud of myself. I did go to bed on Saturday night with some visions that were a little bit alarming, but thankfully I was able to get to sleep eventually. I thank my friend Brittany for that. So my friend Brittany lives in Los Angeles, or Indian Wells to be more exact, and she calls late on Saturdays a lot of the time because her baby goes to bed. And so we were on the phone for 2 hours after I watched the movie. And so that kind of wiped out some of the sharper images and the more violent images that were kind of stuck in my head. But I'll tell you, when I woke up on Sunday morning, I was still thinking about the images and the video that I was watching. So anyway, I'll explain coming up in 20 minutes. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. It was a premier showcase for the NHL on both Saturday and Sunday. And the blue skies, the snow-capped mountains, the glorious water that was not only rippling, but also had the boaters out there and had the sun shining off of it. The snow that was all around what was an arena that was set up essentially right on the lake. It was an amazing venue, Lake Tahoe, for NHL Outdoors. And I was all excited to watch because I'm enamored of Lake Tahoe. It's on my bucket list. Everyone who's been there tells me that it's absolutely worth the trip, worth the time, worth the planning, worth the expense. And so it's definitely a destination that I will achieve sometime in the next 5 years. My issue is I can't decide whether to do it in summer or winter because I think you could, I love both summer and winter and I could appreciate both, but that's neither here nor there. And so I was really excited to see it all decked out in its glory. If you haven't seen it, maybe producer Dave can share a photo from NHL on NBC Sports. It was amazing, right? They walked the two teams out there on what was this rubber mat, obviously a rubber pathway, and they walk out simultaneously together. They get on the ice and they're shooting around, and the puck was delivered by a veteran. Actually, I don't think he was a veteran. He was an active member of the U.S. Coast Guard, the station that was local there to Lake Tahoe, and the national anthem with the mountains as the backdrop, and it's beautiful. And they play the first period. And there was a goal, actually, pretty quick. The Colorado Avalanche scored against the Golden Knights pretty quickly, and Marc-Andre Fleury. All this talk about the sun, as well as the ice quality, and there were some chips and some digs taken out of the ice. And so they go, after the first 20 minutes, they go back to their makeshift locker rooms, and they're doing the intermission thing, and then they don't come out, and they don't come out, and they don't come out. And now there's more and more talk about what happened and whether or not they should return to the ice, if it was safe, if the ice conditions should cause a delay, or even the glare that the athletes were having to deal with while they were out there on the ice. And I know for me, someone who has, you know, has lived in a lot of cold weather places, and I do also have contacts, which makes it a double whammy, but I cannot be outside in the sunshine without sunglasses when there's snow on the ground. It really can't be outside in bright sunshine anyway without sunglasses. But you're talking about the glare from above and the glare from below when you're outside and you're on the ice or you're in the snow. But it was also the intense sun that was causing the snow to kind of melt around the rink. And so then they were having problems with the ice. So they initially wanted to take advantage of what was a gorgeous backdrop and the blue sky, and the puck drop was right after noon local time. But the sunshine, though there it was plenty cold out, the sunshine was causing some problems with the ice. And so they ended up seeing the teams walk to their dressing rooms, and then all of a sudden there's this big discussion, and Commissioner Gary Bettman, he's walking around on the ice in his jeans, and they're trying to figure out what was going on. So Bettman admitted that we knew the sunshine was going to be a problem, and so they ended up moving the game and actually changing their schedule for Sunday as well. They ended up moving the game because they they were worried about safety and also didn't think it was fair to the teams to have them out there in that bright sunshine. So they ended up postponing the game for essentially 9 hours. Kind of weird, right? And yet, I still don't think it took away from the experience. At least when you talk to the athletes and you hear what they have to say and then kind of watching them skate around. No fans, but the Lake Tahoe backdrop, I think, compensated for that. So nature provided the celebration all around them. I know I can be so corny, but to have to wait it out for 9 hours before they could get back on the ice, that had to be strange for both the Avalanche and the Golden Knights.
Yeah, it was probably weirdest day of hockey I've ever been part of. You know, it's started with the early morning and noon o'clock game, and then all of a sudden after first day, come intermission and tell us we're gonna play 9 p.m. tonight. So it was kind of weird, but we got through it and got the 2 points. So it was fun after all.
Noon o'clock, did he say? Mikko Rantanen, did he say noon o'clock? I think he did. I like it. I need to use that. Noon o'clock. So yeah, they started at noon o'clock.
Noon o'clock game. And
it's so good. They started at noon o'clock and then they had to wait until 9 o'clock local time. So by the time those two teams got back on the ice, it was midnight on the East Coast. Not that it matters because they weren't on the East Coast, but just for those of you who wanted to see Lake Tahoe under the lights, you had to wait until midnight Saturday night if you were on the East Coast. Gabe Landeskog, he actually said that his team, the Avalanche, were ready to go back out there on the ice. They kind of felt like, hey, let's just go ahead and deal with it, but the league would not allow them.
We were ready to play in there, and even if it was the ice was pretty bad and slushy, obviously because of the sun, but we were still ready to play. Obviously, with a production like this and people all around the world, I got family at home sitting up late watching it. With this whole production, we weren't going to cancel it, and then they didn't want to play, it seemed like, but we did, and luckily we were able to get it done here tonight.
So they had this long delay. The players went back to their hotels. They ate lunch, tried to take naps. I don't know. I'm a good napper. In fact, I'm an expert napper, but that would be kind of hard to think about halfway through your game plan and you're like in game mode, you're locked in, and then to try to take a nap right in the middle of it. Yeah, that'd be odd. But they were able to get that break and then go back out with no further issues. Nathan MacKinnon, though, said the same thing that his captain Landeskog said, which is that the ice was bad, but we never thought of stopping. I mean, I can imagine anybody who plays a sport for a living, even going back to my college basketball days, we played on blacktop sometimes. We wanted pickup games. There'd be holes in the blacktop. Sometimes you're playing with basketballs that have half of the outer surface rubbed off of them, so they're kind of smooth as opposed to having that mottled surface. I mean, you just kind of play however you play, and not that you want these guys to get hurt, but I can imagine they've played on far worse surfaces and are used to every now and then having to deal with warmer ice or ice conditions. And there were crews out there that are working really hard at it, but I appreciate that the Avalanche did not want to stop and that they were really keen on getting it done. But as for the Vegas side of things, they kind of said, hey, there's a reason that they postponed it. And so we were okay with waiting, and the Avalanche end up with the win. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. I have not been to Tahoe, so I'm not familiar with the layout, but the rink was built right on the shores of the lake on what is the 18th hole of a golf course. So for those of you who've been there, Edgewood Tahoe Resort and the NHL actually constructed lights around the rink. They put them up on cranes so that they could have lights at night, and they felt like they were plenty lit up to be able to carry through these games. Now, because they were dealing with the sun issues on Saturday, before the first period was even over, they ended up moving Flyers and Bruins to a 4:30 local start time, 4:30 o'clock, 7:30 Eastern time, so that they could make sure they didn't have the same issues when the Bruins and Flyers stepped on the ice on Sunday.
Marchand wheels up the line into the left circle, centers, fired, the score! David Pastrnak able to snap one home from the bottom of the right wing circle. Acosta is one of the specials here today in Tahoe. 1-0 Bruins. Richie centered right of the net. Pastrnak, he scores! Two helpings of Pasta today. David Pastrnak makes it a 3-2 Bruins lead. As they keep the puck in high slot, Stanika near circle, it's fired, they score! That's a hat trick for David Pastrnak. Somebody throw one here. He's got three, and the Bruins with the extra point lead it 7-3 over the Flyers.
It was a big day for Pasta. It's always a great day for Pasta, but David Pastrnak of the Bruins and Boston not only got a hat trick from him, but also three goals in 99 seconds in the second period that kind of blew this game open. And Pastrnak can add Lake Tahoe to his long resume.
It was beautiful. You know, I think personally, the thing that we play in both conditions, like with the sun and in the dark, you know, I think that was really great. The dark is beautiful too, you know. You get to play outside and overall it was an unbelievable experience, you know. It was a great bonding. We had some fun with the guys, you know, getting dressed up and stuff like that. So it's great win, you know.
Hats off to the NHL and everyone who made this happen. It was really special. You know, it's a tough year without fans, but you can't say enough about this event. I've been fortunate to play in a couple of outdoor games, and this one just blows them all out of the water.
And that is the mic drop for John Moore of the Bruins. I've been fortunate to play in a few of these outdoor events, but that one blows them all out of the water. So kudos to Lake Tahoe. She is gorgeous. And the backdrop was perfect. It was stunning. It was breathtaking. And they managed to get both of the games in despite the delay. But I enjoyed seeing it on TV. Even without fans, I really enjoyed the visuals of it. And actually, here's something else I liked about it, too. They did not pump in crowd noise, which would have been a spoiler to Lake Tahoe. So I'm glad they chose not to on NBC or even locally. And so you really got to hear the sticks and the stick work and the guys talking to each other and the skates on the ice. And I enjoy that part. I like going to games where you can hear what's happening on the ice and appreciate what these guys are doing and how hard they're working. So it was maybe quieter than what they're used to, though there were some crazy boaters that were just offshore braving that really cold water, hoping for a puck or something else that might come flying their way. So bravo, NHL. I thought it was beautiful, and I'm glad that the players enjoyed it for the most part. Also, a big milestone for one Sidney Crosby this weekend. Pretty amazing, because I feel like this guy's been around forever, and yet he still has so many more miles to go and games to play.
Please join the National Hockey League and the entire Penguins organization in congratulating number 87, Sidney Crosby. At this time, Sid is joined by teammates Evgeny Malkin and Chris Letang, as together the team celebrates this incredible career milestone with their captain. Tanger is presenting Sid with this one-of-a-kind framed piece. This mosaic is composed of individual photographs from every regular season game in Sidney Crosby's illustrious career. Gino is presenting Sid with a hand-forged silver stick from Wendelaga's Forge, commemorating this tremendous career achievement. And earlier this evening, Sid's teammates presented him with a personalized, one-of-a-kind watch to celebrate his 1,000th game. It's my great honor to once again offer congratulations on 1,000 career games in the National Hockey League to our captain, number 87, Sidney Crosby.
Really cool moment for Sid, who is no longer a kid, but a special day for him. Saturday, his 1,000th NHL game. If I remember correctly, there are only a handful of guys, maybe five, who've played all of those games with one particular franchise, but don't quote me on that. He ends up with two assists, and the Penguins edge the Islanders, and you hear the introduction and the presentation by Chris Letang through the voice of the Pittsburgh PA announcer. Really cool. A cool moment for him. Only the 25th active NHL player to go through 1,000 games. And he entered that 1,000 game with the eighth most points in NHL history. So I believe he should be part of our Man Crush Monday. Not to mention, those are some pretty cool nerd alerts. And as I say, this guy... Can you remember a time? I know you can't. It's more of a rhetorical question. But a time when Sidney Crosby was not the star of the Pittsburgh Penguins, or we weren't talking about Sidney Crosby as a member of the Pittsburgh Penguins, because it feels like forever and a lot of hardware ago. And yet the guy is still not that old, even in sports terms. So we were talking about Clayton Kershaw being a couple of weeks away from 33. That's how old Sidney Crosby is. But remember, this was years ago now, where he was potentially never going to play again because of career-threatening neck injuries. And, of course, he suffered through some brutal concussions. 33 years old. That's it. He could play for quite a while yet, which is great. Good for the game, even as we see... I don't want to say we see the torch pass, because he's not passing anything. Well, he's passing the puck. But there are some good, young, amazing young superstars that are now infiltrating the game as well. All right, you can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio, also on our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. I love, love, love the photos that you're sending of your pets, whether it's cats, whether it's dogs. I don't think I've seen anything other than cats and dogs yet. But if you have a pot-bellied pig out there, please send it my way. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
Noon o'clock gaming.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
And the gift for Sidney Crosby in game 1,000, 2 points. Penguins win 3-2 over the New York Islanders. They move into a tie for second place in the Mass Mutual East Division, and they sweep this two-game set here at PPG Paints Arena.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Congratulations on another amazing career milestone for one Sidney Crosby. At just 33 years old, could there be 1,500 games in his future? There's nothing left for him to accomplish, but we know this guy could have retired years ago. He's had hardware, obviously is one of the best we've ever seen in an NHL uniform, and yet he loves the game, and he loves Pittsburgh, and he loves his teammates, and he's been a fixture and a staple in the league for all of these 15 years. He is one of our candidates for Man Crush Monday. 1,000 games in the rearview mirror, as you hear on the Penguins Radio Network. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Check out our show Twitter for all of our polls, as well as our photos and our videos. Producer Dave, who is back with us this week after a restful vacation, he put up a couple, or retweeted a couple of montages and a video from Lake Tahoe, so you can see what it looked like. The backdrop was absolutely gorgeous. So she was all decked out, and I feel like it was the right venue for a winter game there. Even without fans, Tahoe more than made up for it. So check out the photos and also our poll, Man Crush Monday. We'll have that up momentarily on both Twitter and our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Our phone number is 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4CBS. And we can get to some of your calls on the back half of the hour. We're going to talk about Naomi Osaka and Novak Djokovic. But as I was thinking back to last week and the Mars rover Perseverance that landed on the surface of the red planet, such a big deal. I told you my brother was doing play-by-play on our family group text. And his very last text as the rover touched down was, "Woo! Touchdown!" That's my brother's version of being a sports fan. Anyway, we had done a whole show, well, 3 hours, I think we did, and you guys blew up our social media with the athletes or coaches that you would send to Mars briefly if you could. We're not exiling them to Mars, but it was fun. You guys cracked me up with some of your answers. Some really popular ones like Nick Saban and Dabo Swinney, Rob Gronkowski, of course, LeBron James. I went with Kyrie Irving and James Harden. And so that was kind of a fun way to dispatch some of the athletes or coaches that we feel like are constantly standing in our way or that constantly annoy us. But on the flip side of that, even as we'll hear from Naomi Osaka coming up after the update, who are athletes that you would like to hear more of or see more of in 2021? And you could go big time. You could big time me if you wanted, or you can go a little more obscure and a little more off the map. Maybe a particular athlete, either men's and women's sports, whether it's pro sports or college or the Olympics. An athlete that you would like to see and hear more of in 2020, whatever 2020, I did it again, 2021, whatever that means. Who would you like to see and hear more of? Who do you think would benefit the sports world, would draw positive attention and great vibes to the sports world if we had a healthier dose of her or him in 2021? So on Twitter, A-Law Radio, or our show Twitter, and then on our Facebook page as well, 855-212-4227. Let's talk to John, who's in New Orleans. Welcome to the show.
Hey, Amy. Good morning. How are you doing today?
I'm good. Thank you.
Hey, I'm a first-time caller. I do love the show, though.
Awesome.
And I got to forgive me if I was backtracking a little bit on the Pelicans. I just want to get your take on a couple things with that.
Okay, go ahead.
They came back and won a big game against Boston. You would think it was a miracle on 57th Street, the way they reacted here. But what I was wondering, do you think this ball club is, I mean, I think three or four games below 500. Do you see the Pelicans maybe making the playoffs?
Well, I think that's one reason why they were celebrating like they'd won the NBA title is because the Celtics went to the Eastern Conference Finals. We know they're well coached. They've got a couple of, actually three, household names in terms of superstars. And so for the Pelicans to be 24 points down midway through the third quarter and to see Zion Williamson react the way that he did and score, what, 24 of his 28 in the second half, and to be able to play 40 minutes. Brandon Ingram having a game in which he shoots 50% from the field and hits, you know, five from downtown and leads the team in scoring. I mean, this was an all hands on deck type of a game. And so I actually understand why they're celebrating. In terms of the playoffs, I have no clue. I know that everything is completely jumbled up. Obviously, they're still not even halfway through the season. They've only played, 31 games. So they're not quite there yet. There's a mad dash, though, to this All-Star break, which comes later than normal. And I think the Pelicans would do well to start to put together a surge here so that they can try to put themselves closer to that number eight spot, if not challenge the Nuggets and the Warriors. And that's the good part about the Western Conference is that the bottom half, and the Spurs are really scuffling right now with games being canceled, the bottom half is very much attainable, even for teams that maybe aren't complete yet. So for them to be four games below 500, okay, you put together a mini win streak, and all of a sudden, you're right there with, say, the Grizzlies and the Warriors, who are battling for that number eight spot in the West.
That's a good point, and I was telling a couple of friends here that, you know, it's great to come back from a 24-point deficit, but really you can't – that's not going to happen too often, you know, in the league to be able to do that.
Happens more often than you think.
Oh, really? Okay,
yeah.
Good. Yeah. No, it was exciting, but, I mean, I respect Boston as a heck of a ball club, and the thing about Zion, this guy is so humble. And I've never met him in person. I wish I could. And his interviews after the games, he's so mature. He's a young guy still, mm-hmm. young man, I should say. And I'm really hopeful. You know, he's a great player, but I also love his demeanor. He's very calm.
Calm until he's out there attacking the rim.
Well, yeah, right. But I like how he handles himself, you know, on interviews and so forth. I think he's very I don't know what the word I'm looking for. I get a good feel about him. And then, quick question: does Drew Brees retire? We're all waiting to hear here. Everybody's holding their breath.
Well, then I have no insight to offer you. I mean, it sounds like he's going to, but I feel like the more time goes on, the less, I don't want to say the less likely it becomes, the less of a done deal it is, because there's absolutely no reason for him to be waiting unless there's something going on behind the scenes that we don't know about. But they've already restructured the deal, so he would essentially make almost nothing coming up in 21. So that to me, it kind of, it gives me pause. Why hasn't he done it yet? Why hasn't he announced it yet? Unless he's reconsidering, unless he really doesn't know yet. So that would be my only answer, but I don't have any insight. I mean, it all signs pointed to him retiring, but the fact that he hasn't done it yet makes me wonder.
Yep. I think Drew's a great, great person as well. Done a lot for our community here in New Orleans.
Yes.
I'd love to see him come back. Be the great attribute. But if he doesn't come back, they'll have to figure out the quarterback situation. I know they've got some time to figure that out.
Well, it's Jameis Winston. I mean, that's what Sean Payton has said, that they want to get Jameis Winston re-signed. So it would be Jameis and it would be Taysom Hill. They're not looking anywhere else, at least not in 21. That's something that Sean Payton has said all along. So I appreciate it, John. Good to hear from you, New Orleans. Call anytime.
Okay. Hey, thanks so much, y'all.
855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4CBS. Running a little bit behind, but on Twitter, A-Law Radio, or our show Twitter, you can weigh in with your Man Crush Monday, first of 2021. We also have a post up on our Facebook page. I got to give you my way outside the box, too old movie review, and we'll hear from Naomi Osaka, who I think could really benefit the sports world if she was front and center more throughout this calendar year.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
I was a little kid watching her play, and just to be on the court playing against her for me is a dream. And I think the biggest thing that I've learned over the years is just, like, you know, you're a competitor, you're playing against another competitor, and that itself is the funnest part because tennis is a game.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Naomi Osaka is good for tennis, good for women's sports, good for the sports landscape overall, and she is one of our candidates for Man Crush Monday, along with Novak Djokovic. How can you ignore what he has done down under as well as in men's tennis? So Naomi Osaka, Novak Djokovic, you're going to hear from both of them following their wins in Melbourne. But Giannis Antetokounmpo, he said the Bucks could lose 10 in a row, but they didn't because of his massive performance. 38 points, 18 rebounds as the Bucks get off the schneid against the Sacramento Kings. And then Sidney Crosby. I'm actually writing my CBS Sports Minute about Sid, the not-so-young kid, and yet he continues to be a fixture in hockey worth the price of admission. So I'm glad that he had another moment where the hockey world could pause and celebrate, kind of take stock of the landscape and how much he's meant to the game over the past decade and a half. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. All of our polls originate from our show account, After Hours CBS. And we've also got some cool photos up from Lake Tahoe and really a lot of good information. Our podcast is always posted on our show Twitter every weekday morning. And if you haven't checked it out yet, there's a sleek new look to our website and to our podcast page. We've migrated to a new site, and by we, I mean cbssportsradio.com. So our website has changed servers. I don't know what that means, but they've redesigned it. I do know what it means, but I don't know which one we were on and which one we're on now. That's way outside of my purview. But we do see some subtle tweaks where they've kind of redesigned the page a little bit. Maybe it's easier for you to navigate. I hope so. So you can check that out, report back. You can go straight to our podcast page, afterhoursamylawrence.com, or you can go to cbssportsradio.com and see it all together and let us know what you think. But we always post the link to our podcast on our show Twitter every weekday morning and then also on our Facebook page. Love all of your pet photos and also appreciate your votes for Man Crush Monday. Now, as for Naomi Osaka, this is getting to be a little more of a habit, right? Two U.S. Open crowns and now two Australian Open crowns. And she is one who, yes, uses the term funnest when it comes to tennis and talks about how it is a game and that you're supposed to enjoy it. But obviously, it's an emotional time for her, too, as she ascends closer to the throne of women's tennis.
For me, my feelings, I'm really happy right now. I think this is a moment that I've been working for during the entire preseason. And you know, it's really weird when you get to that final point, you start trembling because you can think of like the what ifs. So for me, I feel like I'm living in a what if right now.
In other words, it hasn't yet become reality. But I'm telling you what, her authenticity, her sincerity, how genuine she is, all of those qualities are great for the world of tennis, great for women's sports, and obviously amazing for just in general for the sports world to pay more attention to tennis. Serena Williams is closer to the end of her career than the beginning. I do hope she gets that career-tying 24th Grand Slam. But even if she doesn't, I think tennis is in good hands with Naomi Osaka and some of the other young Americans, like Jen Brady, who made her first Grand Slam final down under. And as much as Osaka had talked about hoping that Brady would have a bout with nerves, Naomi admits she was actually nervous before the final.
Of course, I can't speak for her, but I was extremely nervous, and I honestly just told myself before the match, I'm probably not going to play well, and I shouldn't put that pressure on myself to play perfectly, but just go out there and fight for every point, and, you know, the outcome is whatever it wants to be, but I can live with the fact that I tried very hard. Why was I so nervous? I think, you know, you want to win a Grand Slam. You know what I mean? Like, you don't go into a final wanting to be the runner-up. For me, I feel like every opportunity that I play a slam is an opportunity to win a slam. So I think maybe I put that pressure on myself too much. But it's working out in my favor right now.
Yeah, you think? She's so honest. She's so candid. And that makes her relatable. We may not be competing for Grand Slam singles titles like she is, and we may not be on this international stage like she is, but we can all appreciate nerves before something that matters to us and trying to process why you have nerves, but also trying to keep it in perspective. Hey, this is supposed to be fun. I've worked really hard for this. I want to enjoy it. So congratulations to Naomi. So it's Naomi and Novak down under this weekend. After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. This is definitely a pattern of success and a really just an old habit for Novak Djokovic. He won his third straight Australian Open title, and he did it in under 2 hours against Daniil Medvedev. And Medvedev had been playing great tennis. I think he'd won 20 consecutive matches in a row. So for him to get to his second Grand Slam final and you would think he would pose a threat the way that he plays the game. But Novak loves the Australian Open. He excels at hard courts, but he's so comfortable down under. His 18th Grand Slam overall, so maybe he's your choice for Man Crush Monday. The part that's amazing to me is that Roger Federer set this bar so high with 20 Grand Slam titles, and it was, I don't want to say it was a prediction that many made that it wouldn't be touched. But at the point at which he started to deal with some injuries and, of course, had to miss parts of years and seasons on the circuit, he was still a threat. And people expected that he would continue to rack up Grand Slams. And we talked about him as the greatest of all time. But now, Rafael Nadal, because of his dominance at the French Open and on clay, and you can throw in Novak because of his dominance with nine titles at the Australian Open, just the sheer dominance of these two players at their favorite tournaments has put them in that same category as Roger Federer, who obviously dominates at Wimbledon. But now you're talking about Rafa and Roger at 20 Grand Slams. And I don't know. I'm not sure if tennis wants Novak to spoil the party, because we've been enamored of Rafa and Roger for so long against one another, and we cherish every match. But I don't know if we'll see it again. Roger is 6.5 years older than Novak. Novak obviously is still in really good shape. He played through some type of an abdominal muscle strain. And he was like, oh, it was kind of bothering me, but I was fine. And toughness. And so what are you, Matthew Stafford? And so he goes out there and he muscles his way through it. And before you know it, especially if Federer is not back on the circuit full time, I mean, he could be passing Roger Federer, which I don't want to say it was unthinkable, but a few years ago, it just seemed like Federer was going to set this gold standard and everyone else was going to be chasing it for years, and that may not actually be the case. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS. on CBS Sports Radio. Obviously, having no fans, having the tournament delayed, then having limited fans just made the whole package completely different for Novak.
Each one is different. It's hard to compare, but it has been definitely one of the emotionally most challenging Grand Slams that I've ever had. With everything that was happening, you know, injury and off-the-court stuff, quarantines, and has been, at least to say, a roller coaster ride in the last, you know, 4 weeks.
18 Grand Slam singles titles overall, and he is not done. So a weekend that belonged to Novak and Naomi. And while we still expect that there'll be some challenges for Osaka at the top of the women's food chain in tennis, and I really do hope that Serena will continue to push her and that other young Americans will continue to push her, because that's good for the game of tennis. Right now it feels like the world is Novak's oyster. So it's good for tennis to have one dominant star, because it draws more people. Either you love him and you want to cheer for him, or you hate him, sports hate, and you root for him to lose. But also, if we don't see any more of Roger and Rafa, I know people will miss it. I will miss it, to be sure. 855-212-4227. 855-212-4CBS. I still did not get to my movie review, but I will. I spent time talking to our caller from New Orleans and got a little sidetracked there. Take our Man Crush Monday poll that is now up on our show Twitter, After Hours CBS, or on my Twitter and our Facebook page as well. I'm trying to keep up with all of your pet photos and to like them as I see them. I did see that one listener posted a photo of his goldfish bowl, his fish tank. Good. I don't know if they're cuddly and they're fuzzy and they keep you warm, but hey, if you love them, I love them too.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.